Well, what time did your day start? What time did you wake up? Maybe a better question is, what time did you actually roll or stumble out of bed? What time did you shower, get dressed? What time did you grab something to eat on the way out the door? What time did you find a parking spot here at the church? What time did you actually sit in a seat, either in one of the Sunday school classes or here in the sanctuary this morning? What time did we start? See, all those questions that I'm asking may sound weird to ask all at once, and yet those are quite a normal part of our life. We operate by time. When we say, how old were you, or when were you born, what is your birthday? Those are all very normal things that we have as a part of our culture and our life that we don't even think about. In fact, they're things that go without being said. And we measure things by age. We measure things by years, in weeks, in minutes, in seconds. Time is a normal part of our life, and not only is time a normal part of our life, but humans are absolutely lost without the concept of time. Have you ever considered that? Without the concept of time, we're lost. In fact, many people would argue that humans are controlled by time. That is how we operate from everything we can possibly measure. At the time when the earliest humans started observing that the sun got up and set down at the same time each and every day, we started measuring our days by then. And then the moon got into the action as we started understanding, wait, the moon, like, it starts over again, and to us it looked like a new moon, and so we started measuring months. We divided those months into weeks. And then we started measuring incremental sections of the sun as it traveled, again, in our perspective, from east to west. And we call those hours, and then we start dividing those up into minutes and seconds and so on. See, even creation operates by time. We are controlled by time. All of our existence is wrapped up in what we call time. But not God. Not God. Since those things that we use to measure time, from everything from new technology like a smartphone or a watch that tells us what time it is, to, as we think of, the ancient practice of measuring a little shadow and it'll tell us if it's about 3 o'clock p.m. or 7 in the morning. Those things that we use to measure time are created by God. It logically makes the point that God is outside of our time. Have you thought through that? That God is not controlled by time. That God lives in a world, if I can put it that way, outside of seconds and minutes and days and years and centuries. There is no morning or afternoon or evening or night. There is no time to have breakfast or time when you have to be at work to God. He is outside of time. He can work through time, and he uses time on our behalf. In fact, think about that. He caused humans to find these bright things in the sky and create this thing called time. So God uses time through us. Time is not a bad thing. It was created for our use. In fact, it was a gift from God. But he is not caught in time as we are. As we go through this series, this is a second week of 8 weeks where I'm going to preach through different attributes, different focuses, thoughts on God. I've just titled this series, God Is. And we're going to look at different attributes of our God. Last week, my goal was, and I hope I succeeded, to stretch our minds as we considered this weird word, Trinity. And we thought through the fact that God is one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And yet that God is shown to us, manifested to us in three distinct separate beings or persons. And it breaks my mind to even think about that now. And I want us to point to another thing this morning in the second week of our series, that God is eternal and timeless. To say that God is eternal is not a new thing. If you've been in church, you know God is eternal. Our hymns and songs speak to that. Newer songs and older songs speak to that. Many verses in our scriptures talk about the fact that our God is eternal. But have you ever paused and thought about what that actually means?
Well, have you?
And as crazy and as mind-blowing as it is for us to think that God is not part of this thing that time is, that he created for us, but God is outside of time, as mind-blowing as that thought is, it's just as crazy, it's just as insane to consider the fact that God has never had a beginning and God will never have an end. Have you ever stopped and paused and really dove into that thought to try to wrap your brain around the fact that God is eternal? He has no beginning and he has no end. And just like time is just as normal to us as breathing air, and we don't even consider it, we're just part of time. In the same way, us as humans think everything has a beginning. Everything has a beginning. It has to, because we're created beings, and so we had a start. And so we can argue about when the moment of life for a little baby in the womb begins. And we can argue, and some of us even know the minute that we came out of our mom's stomach. And they write that down even on the birth certificate. And we care about the minutes and the seconds even. And of course, the day and the year. And that applies to our age. And we look at the age of something. Maybe how old this building that we're sitting in right now is. Most of us know the age, approximately at least, of our cars that we drive and the houses that we live in. Age and time matters. And everything has a beginning. But again, I say, not God. Not only is he outside of time, he has no beginning, and he will have no ending. So logically, let's think through that before we dive into God's word. If he is outside of time and he created the things that we use to mark time, okay, fine. I guess God can somehow be outside of time and not care what time it is on our watches and not care about whether the sun's up or down, right? God, okay, fine. God, I guess, doesn't care about that. He can't be bothered with that. But no beginning? That's impossible. Everything starts. Everything created starts. And if God had a beginning, that means he was a creation. And the bigger question would then be, what or who created God? And if God has a creator, well then, we're wasting our time with God. We need to be paying more attention to whoever created this magnificent thing that we're trying to understand called God, right? And just the logical games continue. Well, who created that creator? And so as hard as it is for our brains to wrap around the fact that God is both eternal and timeless outside of time, it stands to bear in not only creation, but more importantly, the scriptures tell us that God never began, that God has always been. He's eternal from the past, and he's eternal to the future. I believe I have this quote on here from, well, a couple thoughts that I've already explained. Humans are bound and controlled by time. That's what we do. But God has created time and space. He created all that, so he is outside of it. He doesn't live according to the laws of time and space like we do. He remains outside of them. He is not controlled by them. There's a quote by a pastor named Paul Washer, and he says this: "There was never a time when he did not exist, and there will never be a time when his existence will cease." Have you sat and thought through this? Have you spent a couple hours in the car going on a trip and had some time just to quiet and think and turn off the radio and nobody else is in the car and just think through this whole God thing? He's eternal and timeless. All right, Ben, I think you've made your point. Yeah, I guess I can go along with what you're arguing here. But really, what we should care about is beyond Ben's opinion and Ben's arguing is what the scripture says. And you're right. So let's go to Isaiah chapter 40. Turn to Isaiah chapter 40 if you're using a phone or an iPad or something. Isaiah 40, find that please on your device. And this is one of many, many places I could have gone to this morning, but I wanted to focus on this. I will share on the PowerPoint a chunk about 9 or 10 other verses that describe his both eternality, being eternal, no beginning, no end, and God being outside of time. You realize there are verses in God's word that speak to both of those truths that I want us to focus on this morning. And we will get there. But I want to start first at Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40 is a familiar passage to some of us, and rightly so. It's an encouraging passage. But often we go to the end of this passage, Isaiah 40. In verses 27 through 31, our focus tends to be on verse 31. And again, rightly so. Verse 31, though, is not going to be my focus this morning. That is a great sermon piece. That is a great study. If you just settle into verse 31, that's enough. But for the point this morning, our theme this morning, we're actually going to begin before that. Isaiah 40, verses 27 through 31. If you have that in front of you, I'll begin reading. Isaiah 40, starting at verse 27. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel? And this is what they're saying. My way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths, young people shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And verse 31 rightly is an encouraging and uplifting verse. Many of us may have something, that verse carved on something or painted on something, even in our homes or houses. I remember growing up, my mom had a bit of a plaque that had this verse, and it hung in the dining room, and so I saw this verse constantly. Again, this verse is for another sermon, another study, and it deserves its own time. But my focus is on the phrase that I read in the first verse, verse 28. And we often just read right over what it says. Verse 27 gives us, first of all, this human freedom, this human design, this human question, questioning God and basically saying, God doesn't know, God doesn't care, God doesn't see. And either we use that as an excuse to sin or to forget about God, or we use it as a complaint. Well, God, clearly, you don't care about me. And Isaiah, the prophet who is writing this and saying, hey, people, specifically Jews, why are you asking this? Hebrews, you are God's people. So why do you keep saying, my way is hidden from the Lord? God doesn't care. Have we ever heard this today? Unfortunately, I've heard this from many people. Many people who should know better. And if I have to admit, I may have asked this question a time or two. God, and what I'm going through, you don't care? Seriously? And the reply comes after we ask this question. I guess God doesn't care. God doesn't regard. He's completely disregarded what's going on in my life. I guess he doesn't care. And the focus here is in verse 28. And Isaiah says, don't you know? He asks two rhetorical questions, because the answers to these questions are obvious. Haven't you known? Don't you know? Haven't you heard? Our God, and that in all versions should be a capitalized L-O-R-D, which means God's name. We transliterate that into English and say Yahweh, or even maybe Jehovah. That's God's actual name that he has given us. God says, you can call me a lot of things, and we do. He's Redeemer. He's our Savior. He's powerful. He's almighty. Yes, yes, amen. God says, here's my name, Yahweh. We translate that as we read that Lord. And so Isaiah is saying, God is the everlasting God. The Lord is the everlasting God. Then he goes on to explain more about who this God is. He's the creator of the ends of the earth. He doesn't give up. He doesn't pass out. He doesn't say, I can't do it anymore. I need to take a rest. I had a very long day of good ministry and visiting and visiting people in houses and meeting up at a coffee shop and doing all sorts of things yesterday. It was a long day. And I finally got back to my house after 8 o'clock, after like leaving my house a little after 8:30 this morning. It was a great day. I'm not complaining at all. I love being busy. I want to do stuff. It was all good ministry stuff, being with people. That's like junk food to my soul. I love that. But you know what? I went home and I crashed. And for a second, I was too tired to even grab the remote to turn something on, because I want noise, and that's a problem of mine. I got to have noise. And I just crashed. In a little bit, I called my wife and talked to her about the day. But you know what? I was wiped out. I was wiped out. I was tired. None of you are shocked by that because we're all tired. We all get tired. We're all wiped out. We all get exhausted. Whether it's a physical, I'm done for the day because I worked outside all day and I just, right, I'm going to pass out if I do anything more. Or whether it's a mental exhaustion, it can be a relational exhaustion. We tire out. And Isaiah says, not so much our God. Our God does not get tired. He doesn't get too stressed out where he has to take a break. He never says time out. He never says, I'm done for the day. Because last night, I was done. Not our God. In fact, not only does he not get tired, the rest of the passage goes on to say, he takes his strength and he gives it to us. When we're wiped out and we're tired, we can't go on, and relationally we're exhausted to the max, and physically and mentally we don't know if we can keep going, either because of circumstances in our lives or our own personal decisions and the things that we have put ourselves under, and we are stressed and tired and exhausted to the max, and God says, I got you. I got you. And he gives us that strength, which leads us to the final verse, verse 31, the verse that gets all the attention. Because he is the one who gives us strength. And even when the young men, even when people who have energy are just done, God says, I got you. Old, young, male, female, kids, adult, doesn't matter. At some point, we're at the limit. We're done. And God says, I got you. But that phrase there, the everlasting God, he continues and continues and continues forever. In this passage, we see the fact that our God is everlasting. And as we continue in this passage, I've already gone through it and explained much. He creates everything, seen and unseen. He has no weaknesses or limits. In fact, beyond that, he knows more than we can ever know there is to know. Read that one again. I made sure I wrote that clearly. I could understand it after I typed it out. And I was, wait, does that make sense? I think it does. Okay? God knows more than we can ever know that there is to know. Which we see in this passage. And then he gives his eternal strength to those who need it. Our focus today, though, is on number two. Our God is everlasting. There is no beginning and there is no end with God. There's much on these truths that I want to discuss. Again, those come later on. We will at some point also get into God being our creator and sustainer. That will be one of the topics, one of the weeks in this series. But our focus today is simply on God is eternal and he is timeless, outside of time. All right, Pastor Man, you've made your point, blah, blah, Isaiah 40, gotcha. God is everlasting. But that's probably only one of two or three verses. And again, thank you for saying that, because I'm going to display, again, a very small percentage of all the verses that are in God's word about his eternality and timelessness, but I'm going to show up here 8 or 9 verses and make short comments on each one. If you're taking notes, you can just write down these references to be able to study later. Ready? Isaiah 57, same book, later on. Isaiah 57, in fact, if you want, you can quickly flip there. Some of you are quick flippers, and you can find that place, and you can read it for yourself. Isaiah 57, 15 says this, "For thus says the one who is high and lifted up," obviously that can only be God, "who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy." A three-word phrase that we probably have read that if we've read through Isaiah 57 before, and it went in one ear, out the other. Okay, whatever. Who inhabits eternity. We inhabit time. You know what God lives in, since he is outside of our time? He inhabits eternity. And I would make a fool of myself if I truly tried to describe this using logical terms, because it ain't logical. But God dwells outside of time, and his dwelling place is forever. Wait, but what does that mean? Yes, that's what it means. He inhabits eternity. No, you're going to have to explain that to me. Sorry, I can't. I'm not smart enough to do that. But I can tell you what the scriptures tell us. And God inhabits eternity. That we inhabit time. Hours, minutes, seconds. We know the date today is February. I'm already thinking of February. It's January 29th, 2023, right? We inhabit time. We have to. Days and minutes and seconds. That's where we live. God's outside of all that. He inhabits eternity. Calm yourself just for a sec and think through that. God dwells in eternity. We don't. We had a beginning. We have like this time right now, this date and this time right now. Whatever the timer is right now, my clock here says 11:43. That's where we dwell. We inhabit right now. God does not. God is not limited by time or space. Psalm 93, verses 1 and 2. The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. For sake of space, I skip some more phrases about our God, but you can see those in Psalm 93, 1 and 2. Verse 2 says, yes, the world is established, created by God. It shall never be moved. We don't have to worry about this world being trashed and destroyed and zapped into nothingness because God's in control. Your throne is established from of old. Well, that just means he's old. You are from everlasting. Oh, okay. We just think of God as really old. He's a really, really old guy with a really, really long beard, right? Ancient guru. No. He's outside of time. He's outside of old. Not only is he beyond old, he is from everlasting. Our English language, that doesn't make sense. What do you mean you are from everlasting? That doesn't say anything. I was born in 1979. So I'm from 1979. You have a year that you were born. You have a birth date, not God. You know where he's from? Everlasting. And again, I ask you the same question that we asked in the last verse. Ben, what does that mean? Yes. That's the only thing I can give you. He is from everlasting. We read these verses. We're familiar with these verses. They go in one ear and out the other. And we haven't taken the time to realize, wow, our God is outside. He is not controlled by time. Revelation 1:8. Last book of the New Testament, in fact, of the entire Bible, in Revelation 1:8. Again, a familiar passage to some of us, because some of us have read through Revelation at least the first couple chapters, which are great and tell us much about our Jesus. And yet, here's God speaking, and he says, I am the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. That's like R, A to Z in the English alphabet. In the Greek alphabet, Alpha was A, Omega was RZ. And he says, I'm all of it. Beginning and the end, says the Lord God, who is, and focus on this phrase, because many of you have heard this phrase before, and I bet you haven't actually thought about what it means. Who is, and who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. Time out. Wait, what? Let's think through that. Jesus says, I'm God, I'm the beginning and the end. Oh, see, he's got a beginning and he's got an end. But the verse doesn't quit. He says, who is right now, presently alive? God is alive. Jesus is alive. Is that a comforting fact for us today? Amen. Yay. God's alive right now. He is. But he was. Like that's past. He was. He is. He was. Uh-oh. And he's in the future. And who is to come. That phrase meaning he's outside of our understanding of time and eternity. He is eternity. He is timeless. God is right now. So Ben, you're telling me that he's like also in the past and in the future? I'm not telling you that. God's word is. Yeah. And here's where my brain just fizzles out. Right? Time to reboot. When the computer doesn't work anymore, you know what I do? Because I'm a brilliant technological genius. I'm not. Turn it off, turn it back on. Most of the time it fixes. Yay! Here's where I have to reboot my mind because my mind just fell apart here. Because he's outside of our time and he's outside of our existence right now because we are only stuck in the present. That's all we can do. We don't live in the past. We don't live in the future. We can't. But God does. So he is, and he was, and he is to come. Past, present, future. God encapsulates all of those. Wait, but when? That's the wrong question. He just does. He just is. And that's our God. John 1:1. Short plug for my Bible study tonight. We began this the first week of my Bible study. I believe that was January 8th, and that's where we began. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Ha! So there's a beginning. God started. No, in the beginning, whatever humans decided the beginning was, he was already there. Doesn't say in the beginning God started. It says in the beginning, whenever we were cognizant, knowledgeable of time, whenever we say history started, God was already there. Already there. Yeah, but he had to start. Okay, well, who started him? Because in that case, we're worshiping the wrong God. And we're back to square one. He just was. He was. God is eternal and he is timeless. John 8:58. Man, I could spend a whole sermon just on this verse. I can't. But this is a powerful statement. Jesus is arguing with the Pharisees and they're back and forth. And I can't wait to get to this point in our study in the Gospel of John. Because they're arguing and they're slamming each other and they're getting into a heated debate. It is not a polite argument. It is a heated debate. And the Pharisees say, Jesus, you're a young punk. You're telling us old people, stop. Shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. He says, oh, you think you're better because you're old? Guess what? We want to talk about Abraham, who was the Jewish leader, father Abraham. He says, let's talk about Abraham. And he says, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I was. You should be saying, no, Ben, you said that wrong. Here's what Jesus said. Before Abraham was, hundreds and thousands of years before this time when Jesus was having this conversation. Before Abraham was, I am. According to the rules of English, and English professors would do better than I to explain this, that doesn't make sense. That's an incorrect sentence in our English grammar. Guess what? It's an incorrect sentence in every language's grammar. It doesn't make sense. Jesus says, I'm not impressed with Abraham. Before Abraham was, he doesn't say I was. He says, I am. What a powerful statement. Not only does I am also claim to be the name of God, which they would have never said out loud, and Jesus offended everyone by saying God's actual holy name, which is I am. He offends them even further because saying that before Abraham was, I am. He's stating that he is outside of time and outside of space, and he is in the past and in the present and in the future. He says, I'm not impressed with how old Abraham is or how back in the day. Jesus says, baloney. I'm already there. And in our English-speaking minds, grammar, that doesn't make sense. How can you already, no, you were, right? That's what you meant to say, Jesus, before Abraham was, you were? No, I am. Another verse that points out, man, so much more to say, but I need to move on. Another verse that points out his eternity and his timelessness. Psalm 90, verse 4. I got two more after this one. For 1,000 years in your sight, God's sight, are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. This poem is using poetic language, poetry, and using poetic form to basically say, you know how something just happened and it was quick like that? Remember yesterday? If I said write down all the things you said yesterday, some of us would already forget half of the day because it was yesterday. Who cares? We can barely remember what we had for breakfast this morning, much less yesterday. Oh, and then 3 weeks ago, forget it. I have to go back to my calendar across the street in my office to try to guess what I was doing 3 weeks ago. I have no idea what I was doing 3 weeks ago. What's the point? Ah, forgot about it. Old news. It's done. A watch in the night was about 4 hours in the middle of the night. And if it was your job to keep watch on the watchtower, you had your watch. You had about 3-4 hours, and that was your job. Oh, but it was done. It's done. So for God, we look at 1,000 years as something that our brains can't even fathom. I can't. I can't imagine 1,000 years, much less 100,000 or 1 million or 1 billion or 1 trillion years. My brain just, again, time to reboot. I'm done. And God looks at 1,000 years as a... there's nothing. Watching the night. Oh, it's like yesterday when it's done. Oh, that was... it's already done. And he looks at a time that our stuck-in-space human minds can only think of as, wow, that is so vast. There's no way I could ever imagine 1,000 years. And God says, no biggie, no biggie. Titus 1, 1 and 2, Paul writing this book to Titus. We get to look on and read on in this personal correspondence that Paul sends to his buddy Titus. And he says, Paul, I'm a servant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ in the hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, boy, there's already a bunch in there. For sake of time, I got to move on. Promised before the ages began. One of many verses that just simply says, before we even imagine to start history, whenever we started time, oh yeah, God's already there. And he's had this plan the whole time. He's promised before the ages began. Last verse, 2 Peter 3:8. Hearkening back to the verse we looked at a couple verses ago in Psalms. Peter writes this, and he remembers the psalm that he probably had memorized, and he uses the same phrase. Do not overlook this one fact, beloved brothers and sisters in Christ. Remember this, with the Lord, one day, 1,000 years. 1,000 years, one day. Again, I'm very familiar with this verse. I've heard this verse probably all my life, being in church all my life, and doing the Awana thing, and memorizing verses as I was forced to do by my family. And I've heard this verse a million times, but my brain still can't comprehend what it actually entails. With God, one day stretches out to the immensity of our trying to imagine 1,000 years. Oh, and 1,000 years collapses into one day, a moment, a watch in the night. Both Old and New Testament pointing out the truth that our God is eternal and timeless. There are so many more. Do a simple Google study. That's all I did. That's all I did. And I had to filter through a ton of verses just to pick these 8 or 9 verses to focus on this morning. There are so many more. The whole point is from beginning to end, from Genesis, literally, to Revelation, literally, there are verses that shout out God's eternity and his timelessness. I like this quote by Thomas Aquinas. Again, it melts my mind to try to imagine this. But this early church father, back about 1,500 years ago, said this, and he wrote this down. God sees all things together and not successively. A little bit fancy language for some of us. We're like, wait, time out. What do each of those words mean? A couple days ago, I watched a movie. Guess how I watched it? I started at the... You guys can speak. It's all right. I started at the beginning, and I watched it to the... Duh. It's what we do. Because something has to have a beginning, and then we're in the present all the way to the end. Not so with God. You know what the statement is saying? God sees it all. He knows it all. And it's not successive, one after the other, after the other, after the other. He sees it all. Past, present, and future, God is there. And again, if this hurts your brain, you're normal. It hurts mine too. How? Why? Because he's God. Because he's outside of our limits that we are stuck in. Here's another brain melter, and I tried to figure out how best to do it here. Okay, I'm going to take this piece of paper. Imagine this sheet of paper, just an 8.5 by 11, and it literally goes all the way. We bust that window. It goes through that window, and it just keeps going, just goes. And it goes all the way around the earth, and it comes through that other window, and it's connected. And the whole thing just goes. You know what our idea of history is? If I took a Sharpie, there's actually a Sharpie here. I took a Sharpie, and on this piece of paper, I just write, that's all of history. That's from creation, Genesis 1:1, to the end of time, whenever that is. That's our idea of history. That's all our knowledge of. And you know what eternity is? The paper keeps going, and it keeps going, and there's no stop. Again, yes, that hurts my brain. And God is there in all of it. Like he sees the past, he sees the future, he obviously sees our needs right now. And that's our God, eternal and timeless. The future, he's already there. The past is now to God. And of course, the present, where we are, he is as well. We claim that God is all-knowing. But can he be truly all-knowing, like know everything, if he's not in the past, present, and future? See, this thought about God being eternal and timeless, we want to say, hold on, just because I can't understand it, so I don't believe it. But it makes sense. If God knows everything, it's because he's everywhere and for all time. There's that word again. He just is. I am the Lord who was and is to come. And that's our God who is eternal. Things to remember. Why does this brain-stretching exercise, if you will, matter? Why did I spend 30 minutes or so talking about something that's a little bit of a mental exercise, but if this is just entertainment, and you're like, wow, Pastor Ben asked some good questions. I never really considered that before. All right, amen. Well, let's go home. What's for dinner? If that's all this is, I've done you a disservice. I've wasted our time because we can be entertained at home. We can have mental exercises. You can find those online. Some of us have books that write little twisters and tongue twisters and mental exercises that ask impossible questions. If that's all I did today, stay home. But why are we here? To worship our God. The fact that we are created and that we don't exist in eternity like our God does means we're not God. Shocker, I know. Never saw that one coming. We're not God. But we can worship and praise and love and follow a God who is. A God who knows our past. A God who knows our future. A God who knows where we are right now. And he's still God. And he's got it all figured out. You and I don't. I have no idea what next year, much less tomorrow, will bring. I don't, and you don't either. I can only remember some of what my past is, and it's already faded because of time and because my brain doesn't remember everything perfectly, and neither does yours. God's there. Future, God's there. Present, right now, as we're encapsulated in this time, God's there too. Remember, he inhabits eternity. But we were also made in his image. You realize that? We were created in God's image. And part of what that means is that we were given a fear of death. You ever wondered why death is such a horrific thing to even talk about, much less embrace? Because it's not natural for us. We do have a beginning, but for those of us who are his, we know that we will live, what's the word? Forever. Forever. An eternity. We won't have an end. We are not outside of time. We are slaves to time. We're stuck in time. We can't escape. But we do have something that we can look forward to as God's people being created in his image. We can live into eternity forever and ever and ever and ever. So even though Ben Franklin says that, you know, the only guarantees in life are death and taxes, and we kind of nod our heads and say, yeah, true, there's an exception clause to that phrase. And for those of us who are his, we say, oh, death, yeah, but that's only physical, and we got much more to look forward to. In fact, we know that we will live forever. Who but God should get the praise for that? Who but God should be honored and glorified because of him being able to create us as eternal beings who naturally fear death, don't like to talk about death, don't want to think about it. You know why? Because he created us with an eternal mindset to desire eternity. And in fact, we have just that if we are part of his family. We are created in his image. We are created to live into eternity. So my question is, are you right now in the present, the only time that we can control right now, are you trusting and resting in the everlasting God who is outside of time and who inhabits eternity and who is and was and is to come, that God? Are you trusting and resting in him? Because he's outside of our timelines that we stress and worry and give up and throw our hands up and say, I can't do it anymore. Just like Isaiah chapter 40 tells us. And we give up. And our eternal God is there to say, I gotcha. And he picks us back up. And he gives us his strength, not ours, his strength to carry on and to keep going. And we will mount up with wings just like an eagle. And we will be able to continue going on because our everlasting, eternal God gives us that strength. Are you a follower of that God? If not, I encourage you right now today to think deeply about why not. You are not that powerful. Nobody else is that impressive as the God that we see revealed to us in Scripture. Why not worship that God instead of yourself or something or someone else? Worship that God. And for those of us who already are and who are looking forward to an eternity to live out with God forever and ever, how are you doing? You making it? Be honest and just admit and say, no, Ben, actually, I'm probably not. It's okay. We're all humans. We're all weak. But we have a creator God, though, who gives us his strength. And are you trusting in that? Or are you trusting in yourself to just plow through and fake it till you make it and just, I'm just going to have to pick myself up by my own bootstraps? Stop. You can't. You can't. Get your strength, get your encouragement from the God who not only can, but does. And the God who has lived and lives yesterday, today, and forever. That is the God we worship. And that is the God who is. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are our God. And even saying those flippant little words could never carry the weight of even what we were able to be challenged with from your word this morning. You are a God who is eternal. You are a God who is not controlled as we are by time and space. You inhabit eternity, and you are from eternity past, present, to the future. And that's something our human minds just can't grasp, and that's okay. You don't really care that we grasp that. But we do want to worship you and honor you for the truth that is revealed in your word. For those of us who are followers of you, Lord God, I ask that when we are weak, that we wouldn't pretend like everything's okay, that we wouldn't try to impress others with our strength that really doesn't exist, but that we would in truth trust in you. You alone are the one who is able to enable us to carry on and to give us your strength so that we can get back up on our feet and keep plowing ahead and keep moving forward as tough or as easy as the days ahead may be. Thank you for being timeless. Thank you for a God that sees all things not in order, not successively, but you see it all from beginning to end, all the time. What a powerful truth and what a powerful God that you are. Forgive us for trying to stuff our understanding of you into our little limited boxes of understanding, to only think of you as much as we can imagine things. But let us look to your scriptures where you reveal yourself to us. And let us truly worship you, the God who is outside of our understanding. You proved that to us last week as Trinity, as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And you proved that today, this morning, as we've seen throughout your word, that you are outside of time. You are eternal. We thank you for the gift of eternal life that you have given to those of us who have put our trust in you. And I ask that maybe even today, if someone is still considering that thought, that this would be the time when they understand the importance of trusting in you. We cannot trust in ourselves. We cannot trust in anything else. You alone are the one who rescues. May you continue to rescue us every day, and may you rescue those who are lost and bring them to your family. As always, it's in Jesus' name that we can pray. Amen.